Easter is mentioned one time in your King James Bible, and it is used correctly in reference to the pagan holiday that has nothing to do with the resurrection. Easter is the worship of the false goddess Ishtar, Easter, Ishtar, Astarte, that's another false god name. It is a nasty holiday that was celebrated wickedly long before the resurrection ever happened. Easter has been around a long time. That's why Easter is celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Why? Because rabbits are known to multiply and eggs are a sign of fertility. It was an immoral, pagan, nasty, five-day period every year in worship to a false god. That's what Easter is. That's what Easter always has been. You say, well, how come we call it Easter? You'll notice I don't call it Easter. I understand it's custom. The Catholics took Easter and resurrection and the Passover and combined it. But before Jesus died on the cross, Easter was a time that took place later in the month of April, before the resurrection. That's why as a Bible-believing Christian, Easter is in your Bible one time in Acts. It is used correctly. It is not talking about what the world calls Easter. It's talking about the pagan holiday, and that's in the chapter with Herod there. That's a different Bible study. I don't want to get into that. I just wanted to touch it this morning. You need to know Easter is pagan. And honestly, it's a sick, immoral, filthy... don't look into it. I glanced at it, and I was like, ew, I don't... It's dark. It's nasty. That's all you need to know about it. It's like all the other pagan stuff. It's immoral. It involves immorality. Look at Matthew 12:40. And we're going to start at verse number 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now you need to know a sign in the Bible is a fulfilled prophecy. It's always a work with Scripture. We think of a sign. If I said, Brother Gus, give me a sign or show me a sign. We think, hey, make something move. Make this chair float across the room. That's not what a sign is in your Bible. A sign in your Bible, when the scribes and Pharisees are saying, show us scriptural proof of why you're here. Show us a sign that is backed up with Bible. That's what it is in your Bible. It's not a spooky mysticism. So if you understand that, look at verse 39. And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah, the man God allowed to be swallowed by a whale or a giant fish, but God does say whale. And he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, 72 hours. Then the whale vomited up Jonah, and he finally decided, okay, I'll go do what God wants me to do. So Jesus said, the only sign you're going to get of who I am and why I'm here is the prophet Jonah. That's why Jonah is one of the most hated books of the Bible. Jonah, Daniel, and Revelation. Those three books. Now let's go back here. Jesus said, you'll get one sign. Sign of Jonah, and then look at how he describes it here in verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now there are several ways. Go to Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 31. Most people know this because Jesus said it so many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said it over and over and over again. I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. He said it all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Told it, but nobody caught it. Look at Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Look at Mark 9:31. Look at the next chapter and look at verse 31. Verse 31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. So over and over again, Jesus mentions 3 days. 3 days, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, rise again. If you take the general teaching, as much as everybody knows that, it's amazing how much it doesn't click. Everybody makes Friday, the crucifixion day, oh, Good Friday and all this other stuff. There's nothing good about Friday if you're a Bible believer. Jesus was in the grave on Friday. But when I would go to Good Friday services as a child, I remember sitting there, and maybe because I'm ADD or something, I don't know. I'd sit there and I would think, I would go, okay, Friday, Saturday, he rose Sunday before light. So this isn't a full day here. And I would go, okay, nights. So I don't have, there's not 3 days here. He rose early in the morning. Now let me do the math on the nights. If he was crucified on Friday and they put him in the grave, okay, one, two nights at the most. And I was like, but Jesus said 3 days and three nights. 3 days, it doesn't add up. So that would play head games with me, okay? And it ought to play head games with everybody. I'm not the only weirdo, okay? but the next thing you need to know is we say a day starts at midnight and then ends at midnight. You can't use that when you read your Bible. The Romans started a day, I put on there, the Roman day began at 6 in the morning and ended at 6 at night. Our calendar is not the Gregorian calendar that we gauge our start of the day and start of the night time. Moon phases are still in play. It's not, you can't read your Bible with our clock system. Do you understand? The Jewish day begins at midnight, I'm sorry, begins at sunset and closes at sunset. You say, why? Can you take your Bible real quick and go, we'll come back here. Go to Genesis chapter 1, just the first chapter of your Bible. The Jewish day, the Jews took how God put the times on the earth and used it as their clock system. Now, look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then look at the last part of the verse. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So God doesn't go light, darkness. Makes a day. In the Bible, God's timetable says you start with the night, evening, daytime, then you have one day. In other words, the evening comes first. Does everybody see that? That's how come the Jews do their day the way that it is, because that's how God put it in Genesis. If you know that, you got to use that time frame when you're figuring this out. If you go midnight to midnight, you're like, then it gets confusing. So, this is foundational here. The Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. because that's how God laid it out in the Bible. To understand a little bit more, go to Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12 is the famous Passover chapter. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments in your Bible. If there was a chapter that you would do well to be associated with, that's beautiful in how it pictures the Lord Jesus, Exodus 12 is one of those chapters, the Lamb, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. And we're about to read about how the Lamb was supposed to be sacrificed. Jesus fulfilled Passover. Look at verse number 3. Speak ye, I'm at Exodus 12, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So 1,500 years before Jesus comes to the earth, 1,500 years, God delivers the Jews out of Egypt and he passes over them because they take the blood of the lamb and they put it on their doors in the sign, right? You got the sign of the cross there. Then 1,500 years later, Jesus is eating the Passover with his disciples and establishes the Lord's Supper. But he is the Passover lamb. He's going to fulfill Exodus chapter 12. That's why. Let's look at the date here. Ready? Look at verse number 3. Do y'all see in the 10th day of this month? That's when you took the lamb. And you watched the lamb for 4 days to make sure that the lamb didn't limp or that it wasn't sick. You have to make sure that the lamb that you're offering is perfect and pure. So for 4 days, you select a lamb out of the fold or you buy one, either way. Then you watch it. You feed it, all that, but you're seeing if it's perfect. Then it says, watch this, do you all see? Look at verse number 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. If we do the math, if you don't do this on your fingers, you're going to think it's 4 days. 10, 11, 12, 13, and on the 14th day you kill it. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, the 10th, in 30 AD when he was crucified would have been Saturday. See, all across churches today, not all, some of them do it right, but most of them call this Palm Sunday. Oh, this is the day that the palms were laid before Jesus as he was on the foal of an ass and came in and all the people were shouting, Hosanna in the highest! Oh, Hosanna, our King! This Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sabbath or Saturday on the 10th. In 30 AD, Wednesday was April 14th, or the month for the Jew was Nisan 14. I put that in your Sunday school lesson. So the 14th day he was taken, and it says, it's amazing, I do like this, and this chapter here, I'm going to just touch on this a little bit more in the sermon this morning in a different direction, but it does say, in verse 6, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. On Saturday, on the 10th, back here, they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Our King is here. And 5 days later, the whole assembly is screaming what? Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. His blood be upon us and our children. So that is a fulfillment. Jesus fulfilled Exodus 12. Okay, do you all see the prophecy there? Now, if you understand that, the other reason, you know, you try to hear, yes, I've asked pastors, so do you celebrate Good Friday or do you believe Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday? Here's what so many will say, and not all, just some ding-dongs. Okay, no, he was crucified on Friday because the Sabbath is Saturday. It says in John 19:31. This is the verse they use. I'm going to explain this to you. And I do enjoy this week. I enjoy thinking of yesterday was the triumphal entry. Today was the day of the cleansing of the temple. Went through with a whip. Made my house a den of thieves. The cursing of the fig tree. Tuesday night is when he observes the Passover supper with his disciples and Judas goes out and betrays him. Then Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock is when the nails are driven in his hands and he hangs on that cross from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon he cried out, "It is finished." What happened in the Bible at 3 o'clock every afternoon on the Day of Atonement? The priest would slit the throat of the lamb. And then the priest at 3 in the afternoon always said, "It is finished." Jesus fulfilled so much Bible on the cross. but he hung there from 9 to 3. He died at 3, and then he hung there for another hour, and it says at 4 o'clock they took his body down off of the cross. I like thinking of this week. I like thinking of what our Savior did for us. It's just, you're supposed to praise God for the cross every day. You're supposed to thank God every day that you're saved. But it's just a wonderful week to kind of focus and think, wow, what happened, and kind of read the passages. You know, it'll be towards the end of the Gospels. Are you there in John 19:31? Watch this. Here's a verse that's very misunderstood. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. Now, if you just read that, and that's the only Bible you had, which it isn't, you would think Jesus was hanging on the cross here, and they wanted to take his body down so it wasn't on the cross on this Sabbath. But what's in parentheses is the high Sabbath. What is a high Sabbath? Now, let's see if we can do this. I don't think this is so deep you can't follow me. Now, take your Bible and go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is probably one of the most amazing prophecy chapters in your Bible. This is the Feasts of the Lord chapter. That's all I can cover with you this morning, but each feast is a prophecy. It's beautiful in your Bible. All we're going to look at, do y'all see verse 6? Look at verse 6. When it's talking about the Passover, it says here, well, just go ahead and look at verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, for the Jew, that would have been April. At even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye have a holy convocation. And then this last part of the verse 7, ye shall do no servile work therein. So on the 15th day of the month, now follow me just a second. On the 15th day of the month, that day, it did not matter whether it was Saturday or not. It was based on a number. Do you understand? Saturday is the Sabbath day. I think everybody knows that. This is not Sabbath day. Yesterday was the Sabbath. That was the set Sabbath 7 days. But in Leviticus chapter 23, there are 7 days. Follow me now. Just stay with me. There are 7 days that are Sabbaths that can be any day of the week. It's based on a number of the month. Does everybody follow me? That is called a high Sabbath. And God says in the Bible, when the Passover is done on the 14th day of the month, in AD 30, that would have been Wednesday. The high Sabbath would have been what day? The 15th day, right? Isn't that what it says? This was a high Sabbath based on Jesus was fulfilling the Passover, right? He was fulfilling the Passover lamb. That's why people will read John 9 and they'll say, oh, see, it was the day before the Sabbath, and therefore Jesus was crucified on Friday. Well, ding dong, that's not 3 days and three nights, for crying out loud. But it would help, a little study of your Bible shows you what is the high Sabbath. There were 7 high Sabbaths that could be Monday, Friday, any day of the week, based on the number of the month. And when Jesus was crucified, this, the 14th, was the Passover, and the 15th was the high Sabbath. I know there's no contradictions in my Bible. If I think Jesus was crucified on a Friday, then there must be something I'm not understanding. Because Jesus didn't tell a lie. Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and he rose after the 3 days. So the math would go like this, right? He was in the grave Thursday, 1, day 2, Friday, day 3, Saturday. And you come up now, I have 3 days and three nights because he rose before sunset, sunrise on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. How come we don't observe the Sabbath? How come we didn't come to church yesterday? Because that's a sign only between Israel and the Jews, God and the Jews. We come to church every Sunday on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection all year long. All year long. You say, why? Because that's what they did in the book of Acts. When we're raptured out of here and we're in heaven, if you're saved, during the tribulation period, Judaism will be reinstated, and then they will observe the Sabbath again. because that is between God and the Jew. And we'll be up in heaven watching them gather every Saturday on the Sabbath. Okay? Through the millennium, I think it's going to be on the Sabbath. But for now, we come to church to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead every Sunday on the first day of the week. First day of the week. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. There is no way. I don't care what time system you want to use, Roman, ours, Jewish, there's no way he was crucified on Friday. That's Catholic. And it's amazing to me that they can beat a square peg into a round hole for so long. It doesn't fit. It's never fit. But you as a Bible-believing Christian should be able to go through your Bible and the last three chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you should be able to enjoy this week and think about what Jesus went through. By the time he gets to the cross, he's been up for 38 hours. He's exhausted. By the time he gets to the cross, the fluid that has, the blood he's let, the sweat, he's exhausted. He's walked over 2 miles just in this evening of the betrayal from the time he's been betrayed. Just thinking about that and what he did for our sin, let alone what he went through on the cross. This morning I'm going to preach on an aspect of the cross. One aspect. It's blessed my heart. I think it'll bless your heart.